Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
School of Humans. This episode discusses sensitive topics. Please listen with care. My name is Miranda Hawkins. Welcome to the Deep Dark Woods. Today's story is ATU-709, or Snow White.
Once upon a time in midwinter, when the snowflakes were falling like feathers from heaven, a queen sat sewing at her window, which had a frame of black ebony wood. As she sewed, she looked up at the snow and pricked her finger with the needle. Three drops of blood fell into the snow. The red on the white looked so beautiful that she thought to herself, "If only I had a child as white as snow, as red as blood, and as black as the wood in this frame." Soon afterwards, she had a little daughter, who was as white as snow, as red as blood, and as black as ebony wood. And therefore, they called her Little Snow White. And as soon as the child was born, the queen died. A year later, the king took himself another wife. She was a beautiful woman, but she was proud and arrogant, and she could not stand it if anyone might surpass her in beauty. She had a magic mirror. Every morning, she stood before it, looked at herself, and said, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who in this land is fairest of all?" To this the mirror answered, "You, my queen, are fairest of all." Then she was satisfied, for she knew that the mirror spoke the truth. Snow White grew up and became ever more beautiful. When she was 7 years old, she was as beautiful as the light of day, even more beautiful than the queen herself. One day, when the queen asked her mirror, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who in this land is fairest of all?" it answered, "You, my queen, are fair, it's true, but Snow White is 1,000 times fairer than you." The queen took fright and turned yellow and green with envy. From that hour on, whenever she looked at Snow White, her heart turned over inside her body, so great was her hatred for the girl. The envy and pride grew even greater, like a weed in her heart, until she had no peace day and night. Then she summoned a huntsman and said to him, "Take Snow White into the woods. I never want to see her again. Kill her, and as proof that she is dead, bring her lungs and her liver back to me." The huntsman obeyed and took Snow White into the woods. He took out his hunting knife and was about to stab it into her innocent heart when she began to cry, saying, "Oh, dear huntsman, let me live. I will run into the wild woods and never come back." Because she was so beautiful, the huntsman took pity on her and said, "Run away, you poor child." He thought, "The wild animals will soon devour you anyway." But still, it was as if a stone had fallen from his heart, for he would not have to kill her. Just then, a young boar came running by. He killed it, cut out its lungs and liver, and took them back to the queen as proof of Snow White's death. The cook had to boil them with salt, and the wicked woman ate them, supposing that she had eaten Snow White's lungs and liver. As a kid, I always had short hair. If I'm being honest, it was a bowl cut. It was downright awful. But I loved the feeling of getting my hair cut. So every time my mother, who loved to keep her hair short, got her hair trimmed, so did I. And this is why, whenever my friends and I played princess, they always stuck me with Snow White, even though I looked absolutely nothing like her. Although Snow White has different versions across the globe, there are two real-life people the story may be based on. In 1994, German historian Eckhard Sander published his book, Snow White, Is It a Fairy Tale? He said Snow White was based on Philip IV's daughter, born in 1533. The German countess was named Marguerite von Waldeck. When she turned 16, her stepmother, Katharina of Hatzfeld, forced her to move to Wildungen in Brussels. Von Waldeck fell in love with Prince Philip, who would later become King Philip II of Spain. But her father and stepmother disapproved of their relationship for political reasons. And then, at 21, Von Waldeck died from poison. According to Sander, historical accounts say the King of Spain might have sent Spanish agents to murder the young woman. Dr. Claudia Schwabe is a German professor from Utah State University. She says Von Waldeck knew she was going to die, and that's why she wrote her will.
By the handwriting, you could see how trembling, how shaky her hand was. And then there was a book of death, I don't know how you call it, in Wildungen, where she was from, and the mayor wrote in there that she was poisoned. So that information we do have, but it just shows you how sometimes fairy tales are really very close to life. And I'm sure Margareta von Waldeck is not the only aristocratic woman this ever happened to, right? I'm sure this happened throughout time in many different cultures that we have scenarios that very much resemble a fairy tale story. But it just shows you that fairy tales are just like stories that life writes.
The second woman Snow White might be based off is Maria Sophia von Oertel. Fabulology is fairy tale science. A fabulology group did a study on Lower Bavaria. And that group says von Oertel was born June 15, 1729. Her father, Prince Philip Christoph von Oertel, was an 18th-century landowner married to Baroness von Bettendorf. After the Baroness died, her father remarried Claudia Elizabeth Maria von Wenningen, who was the Countess of Reichenstein. Based on a letter, Claudia didn't like her stepchildren. But that's the only evidence of her relationship with her stepkids. Mirrors made in lore were considered able to speak or tell the truth, because they were made so well, they showed clear reflections. They also had inscriptions on them. Today, the magic mirror is displayed at the von Oertel Castle, which is now referred to as the Lore Castle, and has been turned into a museum. Here's what Dr. Schwabe says about von Oertel.
I have to say, straight away from the very beginning, so the whole story with Maria Sophia von Oertel, that was a hoax invented by a pharmacist called Karl-Heinz Bartels. And it was a big hoax, and he came up with a nonsense word for doing fairy tale archaeology. He called it fabulology. And then the city officials, they decided to use this for profit, for tourism, so they could attract tourists to their town of Lore and then tell them this story of the aristocratic woman who once lived. But again, this is all a hoax.
That's right. It was all made up for money. Well, von Oertel was real, but the details of her story don't match up. There are many inconsistencies. Still, many believe that von Oertel could be an inspiration for Snow White.
and this was reinforced after her grave was uncovered in 2019. But back to Von Waldeck. Dr. Schwabe says she and the grim Snow White had more similarities.
For instance, Margareta von Waldeck had blonde hair. And now you might say, Snow White had dark hair, black hair. However, in the very first unpublished version of the Grimms, called the Eulenberger Manuscript, they actually wrote that Snow White had blonde hair. The Waldeck family owned several copper mines in the northern Hessen regions, and Eckhard Sander found out that they employed children in these copper mines. Children who wore special headgear to protect them from rocks falling down, and when they came out of the copper mines, it must have looked like what we imagine dwarfs to look like.
Also, historian Eckhard Sanders believes the poisoned apple from Snow White was based on a true story of a man giving kids poisoned apples, kids he thought were stealing from him. But it's hard to believe one woman could inspire the story of Snow White when she pops up in stories around the world time and time again.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant... Just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
As I mentioned earlier, Snow White stories can be found all over the globe. They might not have a magic mirror, but all stories have the same setup. A family member envies a beautiful young woman who is put into a suspended sleep. Mersina is a Greek tale where the sun declares three times the youngest of three sisters is the most beautiful, which makes her two older sisters jealous. Nori Hadig is a story from Armenia where the mother asks the moon, who is the prettiest in all the world? In the epic Indian poem Padmavat from 1540, the queen asks a truth-telling parrot if she or the princess Padmavat is more beautiful. There's this epic Indonesian poem titled Sair Bidasari. It's believed to have been written around 1750. I like this story simply because we haven't heard an Indonesian story yet, but also because of their depiction of beauty in the 18th century. In the poem, a merchant finds a young girl in a basket floating down the river. A fish is swimming beside her, and the merchant realizes that if you take the fish out of the water, then the girl stops breathing. The merchant decides to adopt the girl, uses a vase to scoop the fish out of the water, and then takes both the girl and the fish home. Later, the king of the land marries for the second time. The new queen is secretly a witch, and she has a magic mirror. The queen asks the magic mirror, who's the prettiest in all the land? Normally, it says the queen, but this time, it says Bidasari, whose cheeks are the color of the bill of a flying bird, her nose like a jasmine bud. Her face is like the yellow of an egg, and her teeth like a bright pomegranate, which is like a reddish brown.
The queen brings Bidasari to the palace as a servant. She hopes that her beauty will fade, but it doesn't. So the queen decides to burn her face off. But when she sets the girl on fire, she doesn't burn, and the fire is magically extinguished. Bidasari tells the queen she can't hurt her, that her life is tied to a fish at home. So the queen finds the fish, and when she removes it from the vase, the girl falls down dead. The queen then keeps the fish in a locket around her neck. Bidasari's father is devastated. He builds a tomb where he lays Bidasari to rest. During this time, the queen's stepson has been having visions of Bidasari. He believes he's in love with her. One day he stumbles across a painting of her and asks who she is. He's told she has died, and he decides to visit her tomb. When he arrives, Bidasari wakes up. But she doesn't wake up because of him, but because at that moment, the queen is taking a bath. And as she bathes, the fish falls out of the locket into the water, alive. Bidasari uses that time to tell the prince about his stepmother and how she needs that fish to live. While Bidasari fills the prince in, the queen notices the fish has fallen out of her locket and scoops it up to put it back in her necklace. Bidasari falls dead again. The stepson rushes home to confront his stepmother. The two fight, and the prince kills the queen and puts the fish back in water. Bidasari comes back to life, and she and the prince marry. French author Charles Perrault may not have a version of Snow White, but Italian author Giambattista Basile doesn't disappoint. In 1634, he published The Young Slave, which is not a great title. A baron has a younger sister named Celia, and she goes to the garden to play games with other young maidens. That day, a rose tree has a beautiful new bloom. The maidens make a wager to see who can jump over the tree without damaging the bloom. All the maidens try, to no avail. When it was Celia's turn, she jumps over the tree, but knocks a single leaf off the bloom. She quickly swallows the leaf before anyone notices. With her deception, she wins the bet. 3 days later, Celia feels she's pregnant. Worried, she visits some fairy friends, and they confirm her suspicions. They say she is, quote, with child of the leaf she had swallowed. Celia hides her magical pregnancy, and on the 14th night, she gives birth in secret. Her daughter is born with a face like the moon. Celia names her Lisa, and then sends her daughter to be raised by the fairies. Each of the fairies want to give Lisa a charm, but the final fairy, who runs to meet the child, twists her foot. In her anguish, she curses Lisa, saying that when she turns 7, her mother will forget a comb in Lisa's hair, which would cause the girl to die. The fairy's curse comes to pass. In her devastation, Celia has Lisa placed in a casket made of 7 crystals, one inside the other, and locks it in a distant chamber of the baron's castle. Celia then keeps the key in her pocket. But not long after, Celia is on her deathbed. She entrusts all her possessions to her brother. When she gives him the key, she makes him promise he will never open the distant chamber. He assures her he won't. A year later, the baron marries. While away on a hunt, the baron puts his new wife in charge of the house and tells her not to open the chamber. Of course, as soon as the baron leaves, she searches the castle, finds the key in his desk, and opens the room. The new wife sees a girl in a casket made of 7 crystals. Lisa has grown as time has passed, and the caskets have grown with her. The woman is filled with rage and jealousy, believing her husband comes into this room to worship the beautiful girl. In a fit, she yanks the girl out of the casket by her hair. In doing so, the comb falls out, and the girl wakes up, crying for her mom. The baroness answers, "I'll give thee, mama and papa," and proceeds to beat Lisa, cut her hair, dress her in rags, and make her a slave. The story says every day the Baroness beats on her head, gives her black eyes, scratches her face, and makes her mouth bleed as if she'd just eaten raw pigeons. When the Baron returns, he asks the Baroness why the young girl is being treated so poorly. The Baroness lies, saying her aunt had sent the child to her and she needs to punish her to keep her in line. After some time, the Baron goes to the country fair. Being kind-hearted, he asks all the servants what they would like. When it's Lisa's turn, the Baroness tells him to ignore her, but he would not. Lisa asks for a doll, a knife, and a pumice stone. She also says that if he forgets, he will not be able to cross over the river on his way home. And so the Baron heads to the fair, but forgets Lisa's items. When he tries to cross the river, he can't. Then he remembers the slave girl's request and goes back for her items. Once Lisa has her gifts, she retires to the kitchen and tells the doll her life story. She asks the doll if she hears her, and when the doll doesn't answer, she begins sharpening the knife on the pumice stone, saying she will take her own life. At that, the doll grows and answers, "Yes, I did hear thee. I am not deaf." This goes on for several days until one day, the Baron overhears the servant girl crying and talking. He puts his eye to the keyhole to see Lisa recounting her story once again and sharpening her knife on the pumice stone. At this point, the Baron kicks down the door, snatches the knife, and has Lisa tell him her story. When he understands who she is and what she's been through, the Baron hugs his niece, then sends her to live with other relatives and commands that she be well treated. After a couple months, Lisa becomes as beautiful as a goddess, and her uncle throws a great feast for her in his castle. During this feast, he presents Lisa as his niece and has her recount her tale to the guests. Everyone weeps, hearing how the Baroness treated Lisa. The Baron then sends his wife back to her family, declaring she is not worthy to be his mate. Later, the Baron finds his niece a handsome husband who she loves. It's a happy ending. In some of the stories, it's actually Snow White's biological mother who kills her for her beauty, like in the Scottish tale, Silver Tree, Gold Tree. The story was collected by Joseph Jacobs and published in 1892. In this tale, a king has a wife named Silvertree and a daughter named Goldtree. One day, Silvertree and Goldtree visit a glen with a well. The well has a trout swimming in it. Silvertree asks the trout, "Is she the most beautiful queen in all the world?" The trout replies, "She is not." When the queen asks, "Who is then?" the trout says, "It's her daughter, Goldtree." The queen goes blind with rage. When she returns from the glen, she climbs into bed claiming to be sick and vows she'll never be well until she eats her daughter's heart and liver. When the king gets home, he asks his wife what is wrong, and she tells him she needs to eat Goldtree's heart and liver to be well. Luckily, a prince from another kingdom has asked the king to marry Goldtree, and the king has agreed. So the king sends her away with the prince to keep her safe. He then has some men hunt down a goat. The king feeds the queen the heart and liver of the goat, claiming they are gold trees, and once she eats, the queen is well and healthy once more. A year later, Silvertree visits the glen again. She asks the trout, "Who's the most beautiful queen?" And the trout responds, "Goldtree." The queen says it can't be because Goldtree is dead. The trout then tells her that her daughter isn't dead, but married to a prince overseas. Silvertree begs the king to give her the longship to visit her daughter. For some reason, the king agrees. The queen takes the longship, which is wide and stable, but fast and light, and heads to the kingdom across the sea. Goldtree recognizes the longship as it's coming ashore. She tells her servants it's her mother coming to kill her. The servants devise a plan to lock Goldtree in a room where her mother can't reach her. When Silvertree reaches the castle, she cries out for Goldtree to come say hello to her mother. Goldtree says she can't because she's locked in a room, but Silvertree convinces her daughter to stick her finger through the keyhole so that she could give it a kiss. When Goldtree does, her mother puts a poisoned stab in her daughter's finger. The prince is heartbroken when he returns to find his wife dead, but she's too beautiful to bury. So he locks her away in a room and keeps the key on him. A while later, the prince remarries. One day he forgets to keep the key on him, and his new wife takes it and opens the room. There she finds Goldtree, the most beautiful woman she's ever seen. The new wife notices the stab in Goldtree's finger and pulls it out. Goldtree awakens, alive once again and as beautiful as ever. The prince returns from hunting Crestfallen. His wife asks what's wrong, and he replies he wishes Goldtree was alive. She tells him that Goldtree is indeed alive once again in the room he had put her in. When the prince sees Goldtree, he is overjoyed and can't stop kissing her. The new wife says since the prince married her first, she will leave. But the prince says no, that he will have both of them. And this turns out to be a good thing. At the end of that same year, Silvertree visits the glen for a third time and learns that Goldtree is still alive. Once again, Silvertree convinces her husband to lend her the longboat to visit Goldtree. The prince is out hunting when Goldtree notices the longboat. She tells the second wife it's her mother coming to kill her. So the second wife joins Goldtree to meet Silvertree. When Silvertree comes ashore, she tells Goldtree she has a precious drink to share with her. The second wife tells Silvertree it is customary in their country that the person who offers the drink must take the first sip. As Silvertree brings the cup to her lips, the second wife knocks the cup so some of the liquid goes down the queen's throat. The queen falls down dead. Then Goldtree and the second wife bury her corpse. The prince and two wives then live happily the rest of their days. The story ends with the line, "I left them there." I'm not sure what that line means or why it's included in the tale, but I liked it. It makes me feel like the narrator was watching from a distant hill, and now that this tale has concluded, they're off to find other stories. As discussed in previous episodes, the Grimms heavily editorialized the stories they collected. Similar to Rumpelstiltskin, the brothers created their own version of Snow White, including making the biological mother a stepmother. Here's Dr. Schwabe.
In many versions, early versions of the Grimm's fairy tales, it was always biological mothers. And then with the second edition and later, the Grimms swapped them out for stepmothers to preserve the good mother, the sanctity of the good mother. And also they had a really good relationship with their own mother. So I think there were might have been also some complaints from mothers actually about these fairy tales, and that's why they swapped that out.
The Brothers Grimm tale also reflects the beauty standards for Western culture at the time. Dr. Schwabe explains what the colors in Snow White represent.
We think of the white as snow, we always think of skin, and red as blood, we think of the lips, and then, you know, for the black as ebony wood, we think of the hair. But that, if you read closely, that is not emphasized in the tale. And in some versions, it's also the eyes are black as ebony, or the cheeks are as red as blood. The body parts are not labeled specifically. When you ask yourself, what do these colors represent? So white is, at least in Western culture, associated with innocence, and we can tie it to birth. Red represents life and passion, and black represents death. So we can really go full circle. Also, they allude to the triple goddess, the maiden, the mother, and the crone. And I don't know if you know that, but that came way after the Grimms. So between 1867 and 1980, the flag of the German Empire was also black, white, and red. So I just wanted to point that out. It's an interesting parallel.
Now let's pick up the Grimm Snow White story where we left off at the beginning of the episode. The queen has just eaten lungs and a liver, believing them to be Snow White's, but Snow White is still alive. Terrified, Snow White runs through the woods until she stumbles upon a little house where seven little dwarves live. It's empty. Exhausted, Snow White falls asleep in one of their beds. When the seven dwarfs arrive home from the mine, they notice their food has been eaten, their wine has been drunk, and there is a girl sleeping in one of their beds. When she wakes up, she tells the dwarves what's happened to her. They agree to let her stay as long as she does chores. Snow agrees. But the dwarves also warn her she will be alone all day while they work, so she must be cautious. The next morning, the queen asks the mirror about being the fairest in the land. The queen is startled to learn it's still Snow. She realizes the huntsman lied. The queen knows the dwarves must have saved Snow White because they're the only ones who live in the Seven Mountains. So she dresses up as an old peddler woman. The queen arrives at the dwarf's home, calling out for someone to open up. Snow asks the disguised queen what she's selling, and the queen says bodice laces. Snow, believing the queen's costume, opens the door to let the woman help her lace her bodice. The queen ties the bodice's lace so tightly that Snow can't breathe and falls to the ground, seemingly dead. The queen leaves satisfied. As night falls, the dwarves return home to find Snow on the floor. They realize the lace bodice is too tight and cut it off. She is revived. They then warn her about letting people inside the house. The next time the queen asks the mirror who's the fairest in all the land, she is shocked again that it's still Snow. So the queen spends the next day and a half devising a new plan. She makes a poisoned comb and dons a new disguise. She travels back to the dwarf's home and knocks on their door. Snow tells the woman she's not allowed to let anyone in, but when the queen pulls the comb out, Snow loves how beautifully it glistens and opens the door. The moment the queen puts the comb in Snow's hair, the girl falls down dead and the queen leaves satisfied. The dwarves arrive home just in time and remove the comb. When Snow wakes back up, they warn her to not let anyone in, and Snow promises. For the third time, the queen asks the mirror, "Who's the fairest in all the land?" And yet again, the mirror responds, "Snow." The queen is furious and heads to her secret room. There she creates an apple. One half is safe, but the other half is poisoned, and dresses as a peasant woman. She then heads back to the little house in the mountains. This time, Snow is more suspicious and won't let the woman in. So the clever queen cuts the apple in two and takes a bite out of the non-poisonous side. Snow's desire for the apple grows so much that she lets the old woman hand her the other half through the window. Snow barely takes a bite before she falls down dead. This time, when the dwarves get home, they can't figure out what is wrong with her and can't revive her. They lay her on a bier and cry for 3 days. When they notice her body remains fresh, they build her a glass coffin with gold letters that spell her name and have her ancestry. And one of them always remains by her side. Time passes and Snow remains in the coffin. One day, a prince rides through the mountains and comes upon the dwarves' home. He asks for shelter for the night, and they agree. In their parlor, he sees Snow in her coffin, and he learns she was a king's daughter. He is so taken by her beauty, he asks the dwarves to sell her to him so he can take her home, but they refuse. Then he asks if they would give her to him because he can't live without seeing her, and he promises to cherish her as the most valuable thing on earth. The dwarves take pity and give the prince the coffin. The prince takes the coffin to his castle and places it in a room where he watches it day and night. Anywhere he goes, he has servants carry it because he could not bear to be parted from Snow. This angers the servants. One day, one of the servants removes the lid and sits Snow upright, saying, "We are plagued the whole day long just because of such a dead girl," and hits her in the back. This dislodges the piece of apple, and Snow once again comes to life. Snow walks up to the prince, who is filled with joy. The two then decide to marry.
Their wedding is set for the next day. Snow's stepmother is invited.
That morning, the queen steps in front of the magic mirror again, only for it to tell her the new queen is the fairest in all the land. But she doesn't know it's Snow. The queen is horrified, but her jealousy drives her to attend the wedding anyway. When the queen arrives, she sees the new queen is Snow White. The queen is afraid, and they make her put on a pair of iron shoes that had been heated in a fire and dance until she dies. In the Grimm's tale, the evil queen meets a violent end, and perhaps in the Grimm's eyes, this punishment was fair. Because not only did she poison an innocent woman multiple times, the stepmother corrupted the idea of motherhood. Dr. Schwabe says the Grimms were big on protecting biological mothers.
Snow White never really had a mother. And if you read the text very closely, it's also things that a mother would do. And she would say, oh, come, let me brush your hair properly, like a mother would do. Or let me lace you up properly, like a mother would do to her daughter. And there is this tension or this parallel or the nourishing factor, you know, let me give you food. It's what the mother does. And so she twists these things and distorts them because it's the evil stepmother.
Dr. Schwabe brings up another huge theme of Snow White. Beauty. We have to think, why was the queen so threatened by the beauty of her stepdaughter? Well, because beauty was one of the only ways a woman could have power.
Especially at the end where we have the wedding scene, and she's so afraid that it's emphasized several times that the queen is so afraid. You have to ask yourself, why is she so afraid? Why is she in such fear? Is it that they found out that she tried to kill Snow White, or is it the fact that her scheme didn't work out and she's no longer the most beautiful of all, meaning she's getting old and she is going to die? The women didn't have much power in those days, and the only power the Wicked Queen has is her beauty. That's what gives her power. That's why the king essentially picked her to be his queen. By the way, the king is completely absent in the story, and we can talk about it later, but the mirror, we don't know the voice of the mirror, if it's male or female, but in most adaptations, it's a male voice, and we can assume that the mirror stands representative for the king's voice, or patriarchy, if you want. So, coming back to the queen, her beauty is her only power. So when she finds out, when the mirror tells her that Snow White is 1,000 times fairer than her, she knows this is the point where Snow White's beauty is taking over, and she is in danger at that point that her power wanes and Snow White will be the new queen.
And that theme of beauty still resonates today.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant... Just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva, also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Walt Disney's 1937 release of Snow White changed the company and the history of animation forever. Snow White was the first U.S. full-length animated film. And although Disney had used a multi-plane camera to create depth on an animated short before, Snow White was the first time to use that process for a feature-length film. It was the highest-grossing film of its time. Disney's Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs also changed parts of the story. It was the first time the dwarfs were given names and personalities. It's also when True Love's Kiss to Wake Snow was introduced to the story, which, as I've talked about on the show, comes with a range of issues. Here's Dr. Schwabe.
So the whole thing of a woman sleeping and then being rescued by a hero savior, I think that goes way back, and that's why we have it show up in so many fairy tales. And it's just the typical damsel in distress needs rescuing from a hero male figure. But also in Snow White, and this has been said before, she really becomes an object of art, if you want, because she is in this glass coffin, and remember, the name is written in golden letters. So she becomes the still object, something to be admired and gazed at and looked at. But she herself is static. She is comatose, or what you want to call it, and she can't move and speak. She's silent. She is really an object just to be looked at.
Since Disney, there have been so many Snow White variations approaching the story in different ways. Some tales stay pretty true to the Brothers Grimm Snow White with slight changes.
We have a lot more emancipated female protagonists who fight for their own destiny and don't need a male savior anymore. Like even, you know, Snow White and the Huntsman, just that she's a lot more, like she's a warrior maiden.
And then we have stories that turn the tale on its head, like Neil Gaiman's Snow, Glass, and Apples.
The story is told from the perspective of the queen, and Snow White is a vampire, and she kills her father, and she still gets together with the prince, but they're the bad ones.
Some even rework the evil stepmother to make her less evil.
Because it's totally unfair to all the stepmothers out there that they have to fight against the stereotype, and we have to come to a new understanding of stepmothers as a whole and try to get away from that stereotypical evil stepmother.
As we said, something all of these Snow White tales have in common is, of course, jealousy about another's beauty. But many contemporary versions of the tale question not only why beauty is so valuable, but where does that judgment of our beauty come from? One way to understand this idea is how newer versions of Snow White have changed the voice of the magic mirror. Take, for example, the 1997 feature-length film titled Snow White, A Tale of Terror.
There's one adaptation with Sigourney Weaver, which I actually like a lot, where she sees herself, her reflection, and she speaks in a female voice, and she sees her own reflection. And that I always ask my students, so what do we make of this? That we imagine the voice of a mirror to be a male voice. And then usually my students notice, well, maybe it's the judging of the male or the king. It's the judgmental voice, that because the king is not present in the fairy tale, so that the mirror is a stand-in for the absent king. And, you know, women still look into the mirror or their social media posts, and we are still recipients of these judgmental voices.
It's very much buying into the idea that our beauty is based on the male gaze.
It's the patriarchy, or what you want to call it.
And the story I want to end today's episode with challenges the modern standards of beauty. It's the 2019 Red Shoes and the Seven Dwarfs full-length animation.
The seven dwarfs are actually seven princes who are cursed. They were cursed by a princess who they thought was actually a witch because they thought she was too ugly to be a princess. The magic-wielding princess says to break the spell, they have to kiss the most beautiful girl. Snow, who calls herself Red Shoes, is trying to save her father who has disappeared. She stumbles upon a pair of red shoes that change her appearance from a regular, everyday girl to an unrealistic Barbie doll figure, doe eyes included. And in the end, the characters learn, beauty isn't defined by appearance. Next time, an author who turned the Yellow Brick Road upside down before tackling the Brothers Grimm. The Deep Dark Woods is a production of School of Humans and iHeart Podcasts. It was created, written, and hosted by me, Miranda Hawkins. This episode was produced by Mike Hall June with senior producer Gabby Watts. Executive producers are Virginia Prescott, Brandon Barr, Elsie Crowley, and Maya Howard. Stories were voiced by Julia Kriskow. Theme song was composed by Jesse Neiswanger. This episode was sound designed and mixed by Chris Childs. If you enjoyed this show, please leave a review. And you can follow along with the show on Instagram at School of Humans.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.